You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So what I want to do today is go back to the trade deadline. At the time, if you remember, I was waited with bated breath that they would not make any moves for a team that had no chance of making the playoffs. They end up making three trades, and in retrospect, they shouldn't have made any. So in the first half of the show, I want to talk about the Todd Frazier and Robinson Chirinos trades and how they prevented the Mets from playing some younger players down the stretch. Then later on in the second half, I will go back to that trade that brought Miguel Castro to the Mets and sent out another top pitching prospect in Kevin Smith. Before we get to any of that though, I'm your host Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizedOnline.com. So right at the deadline, really, it was after the deadline, we got the late tweets and reports that, oh, the Mets did make some moves. Todd Frazier is going to be a Met again. They've also acquired Robinson Chirinos and his batting average that was below the Mendoza line. And at first you're thinking, what could they have possibly given up to get these guys? And we later learned it was players to be named later and cash considerations. But here you go. Here are some veterans to help you win now, and the Mets were, at the time, five games out of a playoff spot, and they essentially remain there throughout the final stretch of the season. Here's what is annoying to me looking back at these deals. For one, Robinson Chirinos was brought in to be your defensive catcher to pair with Wilson Ramos. It didn't make a ton of sense, okay? Chirinos is a guy who has had some good moments in his career, but is another catcher in his late 30s that, for one, frames like a little leaguer. I mean, quite literally, you see him out there. It is just like your 12-year-old who wants to frame pitches and catches a ball that's way outside, just moves his arm right back into the zone. That's the way that major league catcher frames. But he was not going to help the Mets win. And what he did do instead is he blocked Ally Sanchez and, to a certain extent, Tomas Nito. Now, Nito, he had COVID. We don't really know what his process was to come back. Eventually, he did make it back during the last weekend of the season. But I guess I can't go all in saying that it was Chirinos who prevented Nito from coming back, although I kind of felt at times like Nito was wasting away in Brooklyn a little bit and wasn't getting the opportunity to come back, maybe because of a full roster. But I'll digress on that. The bigger deal was that Ally Sanchez got a chance to make his debut with the Mets this year. He was number 20 in our rankings at MetsMerize for the top 30 prospect in the Mets farm system. A defensive catcher is 23 years old, and he got his first opportunity, and in an otherwise wasted year, it would have been good to get him some at-bats and see what he looked like, especially because he was a guy in his first couple of games that really looked like he was feeling the jitters of being at the big league level. And it's a little bit ironic when there was no fans in the stands for him to really feel nervous about. But you did get that vibe. Like, he just wasn't quite comfortable. They could have got his feet wet because this is a guy that could be a backup catcher for them moving forward. Also, he has been heralded throughout his career in the minor leagues as a great defensive catcher. And when Ramos wasn't hitting, having a good defensive catcher back there could have won the Mets games. It's just that simple. And I'm sorry, even though Chirinos was an upgrade over Ramos, he wasn't enough of an upgrade that the Mets were winning games because of him. And ultimately, Chirinos hit .219 with a .242 on base percentage and a .375 slugging percentage. Good for a .617 OPS. In 12 games he played, his WAR, according to Baseball Reference, was minus .1. So he was negligible, to say the least. And the Mets gave up some prospect for him. I'm sure it was just a lower level minor leaguer that's not going to be of much consequence to the Mets. But it's still something that you gave up for nothing. And the icing on the cake for that is there's a $1 million buyout on a $6.5 million club option for Chirinos next year that Steve Cohen's not going to have to pick up. Or not pick up the option, pick up the tab on that buyout. So that's a wasted deal. You go to Todd Frazier, and as a Mets fan deep down, there was part of me that liked to see Todd Frazier in a Mets uniform again. You get nostalgic about these guys, and Frazier had his moments during his years with the Mets, and you were happy to see him back, and Pete Alonso is mashing home runs with his bat, and you feel like he is helping you win within the margins through the team chemistry and all that good stuff. But if you just look at straight production, Frazier hit .224, the .255 on base percentage, and a .388 slugging percentage. His OPS was .643 across 51 plate appearances. I guess because of his defense, his WAR was a positive. It was .1. But 14 games played really didn't make an impact, and you gave up another prospect to get him. Also, you ended up having to waste an option from Luis Guillorme, where you had to send him to the alternate site when you probably wouldn't have had they not acquired Frazier near the end of the season. And Guillorme had a great year. He should have been getting playing time. Probably should have been playing every day. He batted .333 this year with a .426 on base percentage, a .439 slugging percentage. His OPS was .865. He probably would have been a full one-win WAR player. His WAR was 0.7. So if he had gotten more playing time, it probably would have been at least a 1. And this was a player that really showed you something, and you buried him on the bench. And, you know, I think Guillorme is going to play a key role in the Mets' future. If they're going to trade someone like a Rosario or a Jimenez or a J.D. Davis, all these names that were kind of floating out there right now, if the Mets go for a big, you know, blockbuster trade to get a Francisco Lindor or anyone else, a guy like Guillorme brings great value to the Mets. This is someone who can play defense at third base, shortstop, and second, and he is showing now that he can maybe get on base and score some runs too. So to acquire a player in Frazier that ultimately took playing time from Guillorme, who is better than Frazier at this point, that deal doesn't make sense. And on top of that, there's a $1.5 million buyout on Frazier's contract as well that Cohen's going to have to pick up. So those deals were just kind of panicky win-now moves for a team that wasn't going to win now. And I think when you look back at it, it probably won't matter. I don't think they traded Mike Trout and these players to be named later. But it's just another case of wasted moves that ultimately hurt you in the long run to try to win in the short term. And I think the biggest deal that they made with that is the one I'm going to talk about in just a minute, because trading Kevin Smith for Miguel Castro might go down as a really bad move. Maybe it's the final nail in Brody Van Wagenen's coffin as the Mets GM. I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business that has been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in there, how'd you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So when the Mets made this trade to acquire Miguel Castro as the big arm out of their bullpen that was going to put him over the top, that was their big coup over the trade deadline. They got this guy who strikes out a lot of batters. He's really tall, throws really hard. He is going to be the missing piece that will put the Mets into playoff position. Well, for one, it didn't happen. But at the time, I was very frustrated. I recorded a Rapid Reaction podcast where I was upset at this move because the Mets continue to trade viable starting pitching prospects that could have filled out the depth in their rotation. And if you look at 2021, Justin Dunn, Anthony Kay, and even Kevin Smith all could have been potential options to come out of the rotation. And then Simeon Woods Richardson, who was the second prospect along with Kay that went to the Blue Jays in the Marcus Stroman trade, he has a very high ceiling to the point where who knows what he'll turn into in a couple of years. But there's a lot of scouts that really like Woods Richardson. What I want to do now, though, is play a clip from that podcast, my rapid reaction at the deadline, and the way I felt about Birdie Van Wagenen after this move. But Birdie Van Wagenen continues to be short-sighted. And I don't know if it's his fault or if it's his boss, Jeff Wilpon, who's telling him to make these moves. I really don't know. We know that Jeff Wilpon has been a micromanager in the past. We know they work very closely together. I don't know who to blame. But with that, Steve Cohen has to fire Birdie Van Wagenen. And I have not even put that on wax and said that just yet. I don't think I've gone that far to say that Birdie needs to be let go. But now I'm there. So there you have it. That was a fireable offense. And whether it was Jeff Wilpon's doing or Birdie Van Wagenen, that is going to be a trade that you're going to look back on and regret, because I think Kevin Smith, whether he is a number three, which is probably his ceiling in the Orioles rotation, I don't think he's going to be an ace, but he's a guy who's a left-handed starting pitcher who can definitely get outs. And I think we're going to find out in a couple years if he can do that at the big league level, but his numbers in the minor leagues have been very good. He was drafted in the seventh round by the Mets, coming out of Georgia. He had a 3.15 ERA across 23 starts in 2019, split time between Port St. Lucie and Binghamton, so he was already at the AA level, was the pitcher of the year for the Mets in their minor leagues in 2019. Struck out 130 batters in 117 innings pitched, had a 1.25 whip. This is a guy that I really felt could be in the Mets rotation in 2021, and at the time, Birdie Van Wagenen said, look, we think his ceiling is a five-starter. But the thing that got me at the time is a lot of people might have said the same thing about David Peterson coming into the season. Kind of similar profiles, left-handed starters, don't have 97 in the tank, right? But guys that can work with their repertoire and get outs. And we saw Peterson could be effective. So to give up on a guy like Kevin Smith for Miguel Castro, who is winding into his arbitration years and hasn't been successful as far as his ERA across his career, even though Castro has potential, and I'm sure the Mets will likely hang on to him. I don't think he'll get non-tendered, although he's a candidate to. I think he'll be part of the Mets bullpen next year, but what is that really worth to you? He didn't get you over the top this year. And is it really worth a pitching prospect who you have full control over who could have potentially slotted into that rotation, which is very thin right now on paper? So they get Castro, and you look at his numbers, and he pitched in 9 games down the stretch, literally lost 2 of them, had 2 losses on his ledger. And if you look at the Mets and where they finished, I mean, they were 3 games, right, out of a playoff spot. You win those 2 games, a game here or there, boom, maybe the Mets make it, okay? he wasn't a big boost to their bullpen like they were expecting. He had a 4.0 ERA, walked way too many batters, did get the strikeouts, but he never looked comfortable. And again, the Mets not only traded a potential starting pitcher of the future, there was also a player to be named later in that deal or cash considerations. We still don't know. That was the worst trade of a year where the Mets made a ton of them, okay? You can look back at the Jake Mariznick deal, which I've already talked about various times. So Blake Taylor was pitching in the eighth inning of a deciding Game 7 against the Tampa Bay Rays in the ALCS, and he was getting outs. That was a relief pitcher that's better than Miguel Castro that you traded in the offseason for a center fielder who only had 1 year left before free agency. So that was a bad trade in itself, but you look at all of them, and I think the Kevin Smith one is the one the Mets will most regret, and that's also, not to forget, another starting pitching prospect that was lost in this shortened 60-game season, which is Jordan Humphreys, who I believe we had at 11, or no, 13, because Smith was 11. We had Humphreys at 13 on our top prospects ranking at Mets Merized. Humphreys, another pitcher who has a potentially high ceiling, was very good in the Arizona Fall League, had a 0.77 ERA, which forced the Mets to put him on their 40-man roster to make moves and maneuver and get Ryan Cordell on the active roster during this season. The Mets had to take him off their roster, put him through waivers. The Giants ended up claiming Humphreys. The Mets got Billy Hamilton out of the deal. Hamilton, they ultimately let go of later on in the season. So they basically lost Humphreys for nothing so that they could originally get Cordell on the roster so that they could acquire Billy Hamilton. And those defensive first center fielders really didn't factor into the Mets performance this season as far as making a playoff run, which they fell short of despite the fact that there were 16 teams in the playoffs. The bottom line is there was various moves that were made during the season to put the Mets in a position to make the playoffs. If they did, fine. You know, it's worth it if you get yourself into October baseball, even in a fluky season. I would say, you know what? You want to be there. You want to be in the dance. You want Jacob DeGrom to pitch a playoff game. All of it's worth it if the Mets make it. But they didn't make it. They ended up costing themselves probably double digits in prospects when you count up all the players to be named later that were moved. And now you're in a point where the farm system is in dire straits, and hopefully this new regime will pay a little more attention to that. And when they say try to win now and win into the future, they'll really mean the latter as well as the former. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked on Mets.